Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. We're thankful that we have a full house. Thankful for so many visitors who are here. Thankful for members who are here too. But especially thankful to our members. Some of you, I'm sure, are relatives of members who are here, visitors. Thankful that you're here spending time with us this morning. Some of you are traveling and are staying here with us this morning. It's a really wonderful thing that you can travel just about anywhere and be with brothers and sisters in Christ and then be welcoming. And I hope you find us welcoming this morning. Some of you are you live in the area and you're visiting with us this morning. Maybe you visited here before. Maybe this is your first time, but we're thankful that you're here with us this morning. This morning, we're going to be talking about the prophet of wisdom. Everyone in life makes decisions every single hour of every single day. We have to make decisions whether we really want to or not. Some of us are quicker in making those decisions than others. Some of us take a really long time in making those decisions. In the Sacred Selections gala last night, some people were very quick in making decisions and throwing down money, and that was all for a good cause. But some of us make decisions quicker than others. It can be mundane decisions like you're thinking of right now, where you're going to eat for lunch this afternoon. You got to make that decision at some point. To something a little bit more serious. Maybe you're stuck in a job that you don't particularly care for, but you know what? It pays the bills. That's not me, by the way. Some of you have to make those decisions. You can't really avoid it. It's something that you got to do. And anytime we make the decisions, there's a number of things that cross our minds. I think every single one of us follow this pattern to some degree, where we have data of some kind. We gather a collection of numbers, a collection of facts, and we have that in front of us. And then we start to organize it into something that's a little bit more helpful, into information. Like we give it a face, we understand what we're looking at. If we're going to be, take the example of deciding what to eat for lunch, we've run numbers as to maybe just where we are in general. And we realize we are at home. Specifically, I'm in the kitchen. And when I'm in the kitchen, I know that there is a pantry, a refrigerator, and a freezer all full of food. And I have information, right? Well, then we see how this information kind of relates to one another. We look at these things. We understand that this is knowledge. And we dwell on these things. And we get a little closer to our decision. And we know that, the pantry is really just full of snack food. Probably not going to fill me up too much. The freezer is mostly full of food that I probably shouldn't be eating anyways. And the refrigerator has stuff that's probably more worth my while. And we would call this insight. We know where we are. We know where we want to go. And we start to make those connections. We have given this knowledge some thought. We've dwelled on it for a little while. We've realized what the best option is for us. And we know we're at point A. We want to go to point B. But you understand that's not the end of it, right? We got to actually know where to go after that. What we need next is, wisdom. And wisdom kind of lays out the path for us to get from point A to point B. Wisdom tells us where to go, how to make those good and sound decisions. How to go from being hungry to having a good, healthy option. Or better yet, how to go from loneliness to friends. How to go from anxiety to peace. How to go from a toxic relationship to one that is actually mutually beneficial. Wisdom is what gets us there. Just assembling all the facts won't do it. Just having knowledge won't do it. Paul even talks about that, how sometimes knowledge can actually be arrogant. It can be puffed up and it doesn't actually produce good. And oftentimes, though, if you're like me, though you are sincerely motivated, we settle on whatever just really makes us feel good for the moment. And we just kind of hope that this was a wise decision. Another reason why knowledge alone won't do it is because, there's just so many different things that are crying out to us. There are so many different things that are claiming to be knowledge. We read in the scripture reading this morning in 1 Timothy 6, this false knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge out there. And there's a lot of different things which are trying to gain my attention. If you don't believe me, next time you're in a bookstore, just go into the parenting section and take a look at how many books have been written on parenting and see how many different perspectives there are for that. People claim to have knowledge, and some people do and some people don't, but they're going to call it the same either way. And it's very difficult for us to distinguish between what is good and what is not. Well, in the midst of all of this noise that's vying for our attention, wisdom, too, cries out. At least that's how it's said in Proverbs. Wisdom, too, is calling out. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, where chapters 5 to the end of the book really lay out some practical things as to how to find knowledge, how to be wise. And then while chapters 1 through 4 kind of lay out, well, here's why wisdom is good. We're going to dwell in the why part this morning. We're going to be looking at what wisdom is and why it is beneficial for us. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to spend the majority of our time there this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. We're specifically going to look at four different ways that wisdom is personified in chapter 3. Then we're going to look at what the source of wisdom is, where it comes from, and why that's important. And then we're going to look at how wisdom is profitable for us. But we're going to start by looking at Proverbs chapter 3. In chapter 3, we see that wisdom is a provider. It gives good things to us. Verse 2 says, "For length of days, years of life, and peace, they," being wise words, wisdom, "will add to you." Wisdom does not just serve you in the moment, but it actually provides for you in the future, that you can have long days as a result of wisdom. It says that your barns will be filled, your vats will overflow. Wisdom does not just feed you for the day, but it actually provides you barns full of food. This overflowing wealth of resources, the source of food and drink that is constantly being replenished. That's wisdom. That's the picture of wisdom. And it even says that wisdom is a better profit than silver, better than fine gold, better than jewels, pretty much better than anything you can think of. And in other parts in the book of Proverbs, it talks about how laziness leads to poverty, while wisdom actually leads to wealth. But wisdom is better than that wealth because wisdom is the source of that wealth. Wisdom provides things that we need. Life, food, income, it all serves as a profit of wisdom. Another thing that we see is that wisdom is a protector. We see this in chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 8, "It will be healing to your body, a refreshment to your bones." Wisdom provides healing when you're hurting, solutions to problems that have caused you pain. Wisdom will help you with that. And then towards the end of the chapter, it talks about how wisdom is life to your soul, not just your body anymore, but it is life to your soul. It's going to help you walk securely. It's going to give you a path in which you will not stumble. You can have confidence in the decisions that you're making through wisdom because you can just take a step forward without having to look down as to whether you're going to trip or not. It's going to give you a path in which you will not stumble. Verse 24, "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." How much money have you all spent on making sure that you sleep well at night? A lot of money has been spent making sure that we can sleep well at night. What wisdom provides is a peaceful sleep. Maybe because of that confidence that we have, we can sleep peacefully. And then it says that we're not afraid of evil, the surprises of evil, implying that evil will come, but when it comes, you have the knowledge of it, you have the knowledge of where it is, and you have the wisdom to avoid it. Wisdom is a protector to us. We also see that wisdom is a creator. Chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20, it says that the Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. And Solomon goes into a little bit more detail on that in chapter 8, where he talks about wisdom was with God in the beginning. That wisdom brought about creation, and it's even given the name as master workman in verse 30. Wisdom is a creator. And then there's another aspect of wisdom being a creator that's pretty interesting that you find in the book of Exodus. in that really long, at times, depending on when you're reading it during the day, maybe boring part of the book of Exodus where it's talking about the tabernacle and all these other things. It talks about these artisan builders of the tabernacle. And it actually says that they have a spirit of wisdom. Now, someone who's really good with like crafts and stuff, wise is not the word that comes to mind. I don't mean to be insulting, but wise isn't the first thing that comes to mind for me. Perhaps I would call this person like a master craftsman of some sort. Highly skilled, but maybe not wise. But I think if we look at this a little closer, we can see how wisdom applies. These people understand the material with which they're working. They know its strengths. They know its limitations. And better yet, they know what they can make out of it. The purpose that this particular material serves. And they know how to manipulate it. They know how to stretch it. They know how to carve it to make sure that it serves that specific person. And that person, instead, you have a spirit of wisdom because of what they can do with this material. And I think being a generally wise person can be described in much of the same way. But instead of your medium or your material being wood or metal or cloth, it's you. You are the medium. It's your life that is what it is that you're working with. You understand your strengths. With wisdom, you understand your limitations. With wisdom, you understand what could be the best way that you serve other people. Wisdom creates good in all facets of life. Wisdom is a creator. In chapter 3, we also see that wisdom is a leader. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." The paths on which you walk, God is the leader. Wisdom leads you along that way. Verse 17 of chapter 3 says, "Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." Verse 18, "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast." That phrase, "happy are all," is actually a verb in Hebrew, implying that all of those who go this way, it is leading to blessings, all who hold her fast. That wisdom is the leader that takes you along the way. If you hold on to it, it leads you to blessings. There's many great leaders in the Bible that are described. Joshua in Deuteronomy 34 is described as having this spirit of wisdom. And then in the very next chapter of the Bible, Joshua chapter 1, it talks about him meditating on the law day and night. And for Joshua, this wisdom was beneficial to his own life. But it was specifically beneficial because of his leadership role that he had. That he meditated on the law, and that provided wisdom for him so that he may lead the people. Solomon, like Joshua, is given wisdom from God. In 1 Kings 3, Solomon recognizes the magnitude of this new role that he is in. He understands just how important this role is. He even calls himself a child. He needs guidance, leadership from the Word, and God provides him wisdom. He wanted to be able to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. Joshua and Solomon, their medium, their material with which they were working, were the people of Israel. And through the guidance of the law, he could best understand the people's strength and the people's weaknesses and make them great things. They can make great things out of them, and they can have them serve their perfect function. Leaders are described as wisdom, but wise leaders draw their wisdom from God's Word. And we can see wisdom being a leader. Now, secondly, as we can see, wisdom is a protector, a provider, a creator, a leader, but we must see that wisdom comes from God. God is the source of wisdom. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And then a verse I think we're all pretty familiar with, Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Clearly, wisdom begins with the Lord because the Lord is the source of wisdom. Wisdom comes from him. And throughout Scripture, we see God personified in much of the same way that we saw wisdom personified in chapter 3. God is a provider. He gave the manna from heaven, water from the rock. He gave the land flowing with milk and honey to his people. God is the protector. He defeated armies, though being completely undermanned. He is a creator because he created everything. He created you and me. And he is a leader in that he led Israel out of Egypt, guided them with cloud and with fire. God is all these things that wisdom is described. This is because he is the source of wisdom. I love how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." No one taught God anything. No one sat him down in a classroom and gave him some test to take. Like I heard the eighth graders had to take today. Good. God owes nothing to anyone because he's the source of all things that have been given. Wisdom comes from him. Wisdom is found only through him. And the honor and glory of wisdom, the fruits of wisdom, are given to him. We see such a wonderful life created through wisdom. Our needs are provided for. We're protected from harm and evil. We know that we can create good in our lives through wisdom and through other people's lives through wisdom. And we can have the confidence that we are being led on straight paths. Past to where we don't have to look down and constantly look as to whether we're going to stumble or not because we are led by wisdom. And while this might describe some of you here who can look in your lives and see, yes, my life reflects this, I'm going to guess if you're like me, as you look at your life, you don't necessarily see all the same blessings that are described in Proverbs. That's mostly probably because we don't follow wisdom quite as closely as we think we do, or at least quite as closely as we want to. But for some of you, despite being wise, you still don't see some of these blessings. You're not lazy, and yet you don't have barns full of food. You take care of your bodies, and yet you're still sick. You're blameless, and yet your lives seem to be in ruin. Maybe that describes you. How does this picture fit then? How does this make sense? What about Job? How does the picture of wisdom and God and all the blessings that come as described in Proverbs, how does that fit when we look at the life of Job? Job was wise, right? Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." Well, look at Job chapter 1 and verse 8. God is speaking to Satan. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." So what gives? What is it? Why doesn't Job have this perfect life that wisdom provides? Well, there's a lot that can be said about this. But in a nutshell, I think Job shows an exception to the rule, perhaps. If Proverbs provides these general truths in life, that if you follow these things, generally speaking, these things will follow you, Job shows you perhaps what the other side of it, what might happen. Job shows you things, trials that come about despite being righteous. Job even shows you trials that come about because you are righteous. But one important thing that Job teaches us is that wisdom does not abandon this path despite physical circumstances. Whether your life is more like Proverbs or whether your life is more like Job, either way, you seek wisdom and you follow the path of wisdom. But I believe that the promises of Proverbs truly come into light, truly come to fruition when we look at Christ. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning of verse 8, it says, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance. For those of you who are in the Christian Virtues class in the auditorium last segment, we talked about godliness. We talked about a good definition for godliness. It does mean godlikeness to some degree. You do have to do godly things. It's more than that. The true definition of godliness is a proper reverence for God. Better yet, a proper fear of God that leads to obedience. I mean, this sounds pretty similar to wisdom, right? Again, Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Wisdom begins with fearing God. Chapter 3 and verse 6, we already read, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." In the things that we do, we must acknowledge God. Wisdom and godliness have a lot of similarities here. And so if you'll go with me on this, I believe what we can apply here is wisdom as well. This type of life, a life of godliness, a life of wisdom, it produces promises for the present life and the life to come. It does produce promises for the present life that I think Proverbs does allude to. I think it does provide some form of financial security. That if you are a wise person, generally speaking, you can have some financial security. You can have decent health because you avoid things that cause a lot of harm to your body for the most part. You have a sense of direction. You're not aimlessly walking through life. Wisdom provides direction for you. You can see some physical benefits that direction provides. And wisdom provides a strong spiritual family and community that people are so desperate for. We have a church that through the wisdom of God has been established for us. And in us following wisdom, we can be a part of a local body. And we can lean on other people. Wisdom provides these things. And these are great blessings to us. But we understand that there are exceptions to these general truths in life. But I believe where Proverbs truly comes to light is when we see the promises in light of the life to come. I want you to look at these promises that we looked at in Proverbs 3. But I want you to look at these promises specifically thinking about that eternal life to come in heaven with God. Think about riches that are greater than silver and gold. We get to see the face of God. We are with God in heaven. That we have a long life, an eternal life that's provided. We have life to our soul, no longer our bodies. We have this true healing in our bones. That we don't have to worry about things like arthritis or our knee acting up or our back being thrown out, which I'm learning more about these days. We don't have to worry about those things anymore because we are with God, made perfect within. There is peace and security because we are with our Creator. And we have now reached creation perfected through our resurrected bodies. The tree of life is there. We are kept from evil. We see all of these blessings in Proverbs chapter 3. But how much greater are these promises in view of the life to come? I believe we see this come to fruition truly through Christ. And Paul continues in verse 10 of chapter 4. "For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers." We continue to strive for wisdom because we know the eternal blessings it provides in the life to come, which is only made possible through our Savior, Jesus Christ. There are so many benefits to following wisdom. So many benefits in this life and the life to come. But if you're following along, you're probably wondering to yourself, well, how do I get wisdom? Now, there's a lot of different lessons that could be said on this. I'm going to conclude with this thought, but you can go throughout the rest of the book of Proverbs. Again, like I said, the rest of the book of Proverbs lays out some practical things that you can follow in order to find and get wisdom. There's plenty of sermons here that you can go back and look to find practical ways of how to get wisdom. I just want to look at three passages, though, as we come to a close. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. After the writer here has actually been pretty pessimistic throughout the entire book, laying out all of these reasons why it just doesn't matter. Life doesn't really matter without God. Rich, poor, what difference does it make? Young, old, we're all going to die. But his conclusion is, because of God, well, when all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. How many dead-end decisions would be pretty much put away right from the start if we started filtering those thoughts through fear God and keep his commandments? There are hundreds of different voices trying to gain our attention. If we just filtered it through fear God and keep his commandments, maybe we're left with like four or five decisions, but they're all good ones and we just simply have to choose which one is best, right? What we get with wisdom is what God would approve of. And that's difficult. It's not easy, but we understand that we have peaceful paths that we can walk on following God. Well, what does keeping his commandments look like? Well, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. We follow the path of wisdom much more closely when we are motivated by a biblical sense of love for God and love for our neighbors. But to close, I want to look at one more passage. I want to bring your minds back to Romans chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. But we read earlier in Romans chapter 11 when Paul is giving this great testimony of who God is, he quotes and he says in verse 35, who has first given to him, that is God, that it might be paid back to him again. This is a quote from Job 41 in verse 11, where God is reminding Job just who it is that he's talking to. God is reminding Job that he doesn't need anything given to him. He doesn't owe anything back to anybody else. But this is the part of God's final response to Job. And Job thinks to himself, and he says in chapter 42, the conclusion of this book of wisdom is, he says in verse 3, therefore I have declared that which I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now and I will speak. I will ask you and you instruct me. This book of wisdom concludes with the thought, I will ask you and you will instruct me. If we want wisdom, we ask of God. He will provide the instruction. Let us not speak on things we don't actually understand. Let us look to God for instruction. Whether we feel closer to the ideal picture of Proverbs, or whether we feel closer to this extreme of Job, the answer is still the same. Seek God. Even Proverbs says how much, in Proverbs 16, verse 16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Even though wisdom might be able to provide for you all of these wonderful physical blessings, there's going to come a time when you have to choose between those blessings or wisdom. Wisdom says every time you choose wisdom, because it is greater. And that wisdom comes from God. Earlier we read that our hope is on the living God, the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Do you believe? The things that we've talked about, do you believe what we've said? It doesn't take much observation to see that there are all sorts of things crying out to us, trying to get our attention, trying to make us look their way. But again, as we said at the beginning, wisdom too is crying out. Listen to wisdom. listen to what God has said. If you believe, there's something more that you need to do. You need to choose to follow God based on that belief. You can be baptized this morning and have all of these sins taken away from you. We didn't talk about Christ a whole lot this morning, and I apologize for that. But what you see is wisdom comes to fruition through Christ and through the sacrifice of Christ, because the eternal promises that we have are only made possible because of that sacrifice. You can partake in that sacrifice through baptism. But we're going to sing a song. And that is an opportunity for you to come forward while we sing to be baptized. But if that is something you don't want to do in front of everybody, don't let that turn you away. Talk to some people here so that we can draw you to the wisdom of God. And we can bring you to His knowledge and to His truth. If you have any need of the invitation, please come forward now while we stand and sing.